Welcome to the SKCDA podcast. The SKCDA stands for the Saskatchewan Career Development Association. My name is Keith Lee. I am a employment instructor with the Prince Albert Multicultural Council.
My name is Jody Thomas, and I work for Prairie Employment Program in North Battleford, Saskatchewan. And I work there as an employment counselor slash facilitator. I also serve on the SKCDA board.
My name is Colleen Strau. I am also a board member of the Saskatchewan Career Development Association, and I work at Luther College at the University of Regina. And my role there is as the director of the Nonprofit and Voluntary Sector Studies Network. And it's just a pleasure to be here today.
Our goal here is to interview Nikki Langdon with the Neil Squire Society. Nikki, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure, I can tell you a little bit about me. I've been with Neil Squire now for 18 years. I'm a person with a disability. I was diagnosed with mental illness 30 some years ago. And I got my degree in life, my second degree in life. So my degree was in adaptive kinesiology. And I got that. I had four little kids and I went back to school and got my degree and was very, very drawn to working with people with disabilities and working with people with disabilities to help them find their goals and their dreams. Meaning, how many times do we go to, we're going out, we're at a party, we're, you know, meeting friends, we're at a restaurant, something, what do you do? What do you do? And not having the answer to that question. I feel like every single human in society, if they choose, should have an answer to that question if they want employment. And so I found my way into this organization and then into the role of a Prairie Regional Manager. I manage Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba for our company. And I just really feel strongly, it's my philosophy, that it doesn't matter how you do things, you have the right to have whatever life you want. And if you want to be able to say, I do this to people, yep, that's what you get to do, and I get to help you do it.
Nikki, how did you get started as a CDP?
With the Neil Squire Society, what I started with was the Assistive Technology Specialist. And so what that basically is, the Neil Squire Society was born from technology. And so basically what happened is Neil Squire is a real person. He was injured, high-level spinal cord injury. And essentially they wheeled him into a nursing home, put him in front of a TV, long-term care, said, this gets to be your life. And he had a relative, who Bill Cameron, who said, I don't think so. So Bill Cameron created the first sip and pop, which is, you've probably seen that on wheelchairs and things. It's an inhale is a command and an exhale is a command. So using that, he worked it out with a teletype machine and Neil was able to communicate with Morse code, a sip being a dot, a puff being a dash, or vice versa. So he began to communicate. And that was because he wasn't able to speak with his injury. So that was the beginning of our organization. So since then, we were born of technology. So my initial job with the organization was Assistive Technology Specialist, which means that I went to people who were newly injured or had been born with an involvement or whatever the case may be, and I would do assessments and get them the accommodation they needed to even that playing field so they could do whatever they wanted. And then, and all about toward employment. That was all toward employment. And then I became the regional manager, and we work toward helping our clients find employment and the employment that suits them, that they can do very well and can maximize their lives in.
Tell me a little more about the gifts that your job brings, stuff like that gives you life, gets you excited.
Oh my gosh, there are so many, but okay, here's one. We had a story. I love stories. We had a gentleman who had been fairly like homeless for a number of years and hadn't been, I don't think ever, had a mental illness. And he came to us and you know, wanted to find employment. And other organizations and other people, maybe family seems to be the hardest on us sometimes, had written him off and said, no, like not with your illness. So anyway, we were able to find him employment and we worked with him. We meet each person where they are. So it depends what he needed. Did he need confidence? Did he need soft skills? Did he need hard skills? Did he need basic computer skills, resume, cover letter building? Did he need to learn conflict management? The whole gamut. We do all of that because all of that is so important in finding career. And so we were able to help him find employment. And I can be kind of, you know, a little bit tough because I'm the manager and I can be. He came in a year later and he had bought himself a suit. And it was a secondhand suit. And I can't even tell you, like I might even get a little mushy here. I can't even tell you the look on his face that he was wearing this suit and he'd had that job for a year. That's the stuff that makes me get up in the morning. That's the stuff.
Yeah, that is so amazing. And there's a couple things I want to pull out of what you said here. So earlier you talked about, you know, having a conversation, meeting somebody and like, what do you do? And that becomes such a defining part of our identity and when you're interacting with others and who you are in the community and whether or not that's like should or should not happen is for a later conversation. But like, I'm just really intrigued by how much that plays into how you're perceived. And then you talked about mental health and the change that you see in your clients. I guess, could you dive a little bit more into your programs and some of those amazing advances that you've seen in people who have gone from maybe low self-esteem because they feel like they just don't belong or they don't have a place to finding that identity and their mental health improving because they have a place and feel like they have a voice, I guess.
Yeah. And absolutely, I can. So basically, we have several programs, you know, hardline programs where the different funding streams, different contracts, those sorts of things. So that, you know, clearly we have those kinds of things. But basically, our philosophy and what we do is we meet that client where they are. And so if I have a client come in with, and we're a technology-based company because technology is our lives. And that's the way it is. So if you have never used a computer in your whole life, you don't know how to, we will start you right with basic computer skills. And in lots of cases, we are able to actually provide you with your own laptop, your own hardware, your own software that is yours to begin your career path. Now, that would be the very, very beginning. And then you would go through learning your basic computer skills until you're ready for our group program. And then you go into our group program. And our group program has four large modules in it, all based and aimed toward employment. So we have the career development, which is the resume, the cover letter, the mock interviews, the, you know, all of that kind of concrete, those more hard skills, job search, informational interviews, all of those things. So we help our clients through that whole process. This is a 12-week program with a 4-week work placement at the end. And the work placement's chosen by the client. And so then we have that career development module. Then we have the career counseling module, which is we do the MBTI and the strong interest inventory. And, you know, because a lot of people, you know, they've either been injured, never been in the workplace. I don't know what I want to do. I don't know what I'm interested in. I don't know my skill set. So we do the transferable skills. We do all of those things to try to help that client hone in on what they intuitively know, they just can't pick it out yet. And so then we do that. And then we have the computer skills module, which further enhances those computer skills because you need Microsoft Word, you need Excel, you need OneDrive, you need Google Docs, you need all those things to be able to be employed now. And so then we spend a lot of time teaching that. And each person moves along at their own pace. There's no, today is this class, today is this class. Each person gets their own lesson. And then we have the wellness for work. And that's all those soft skills. That's the self-confidence. That's the creating your vision, creating your future. That's conflict resolution, problem solving, budgeting. Budgeting is a big one. And, you know, all of those soft skills, problem solving, how do I disclose my disability? What is accommodation? That sort of thing. So our clients go through that. And I can tell you, they're okay, computer comfort, scary. That's the beginning, a little bit scary. Okay, come in. And then they come into the group program. And the group program, they probably about halfway through, everybody in our office is equal. There's no stratus. So the clients, the staff, we're all one in the office. And so it's good morning, good morning, good morning. And pretty soon, you see these people bloom because we are treating them the same as we treat each other, and they begin to create and mimic that behavior. And within probably halfway through each group, heads are high, there's smiles, and that confidence, that soft skill is so much bigger than your resume. And then after that, we have a program where we are able to subsidize our clients' wages with an employer for 3 months. That's not for the client. That's for the employer, because the employer's like, oh, I'm a little nervous. This person has a disability. Can they do the job? You know what? We know they can. And this is how we'll show you they can. But after the 3 months, you have to keep them. You agree to keep them, barring, you know, performance issues and stuff. And so it's about helping the employer through that training part. And we have a 75% success rate, which means people kept after the subsidy's done.
Now, that is incredible. It sounds like a fantastic set of programs, and to build their confidence, build their skill set. I used to work hard, you may or may not believe it, but before I was an adult educator, I worked for CGI, which is a IT company here in Regina. And there is a fellow who worked on the floor with me at the call center. He had a seeing eye dog. His name was Richard or Robert or something like that, but he was easily one of the most competent and capable agents on the floor. And it's like, man, this, if I didn't see that he had, you know, a vision impairment, I would never have known, right? And from the customer's perspective, it doesn't matter. They just want to get their internet problem fixed. I do have a question for you, though. I've not had experience working with people with physical impairments or disabilities. This is a two-part question. Number one, when you are counseling clients and you know, they're writing their cover letter or preparing their resume, I know that there are, according to the human rights legislation, they cannot be discriminated against, you know, in the interview or the application for having some kind of physical disability. What do you recommend that clients do when they're presenting themselves in a resume or cover letter? Do they name that they have a visual impairment at that phase? Or what do you suggest that clients do at that juncture? And also, how do you train the people who join your team as career development practitioners?
First question, excellent question. According to human rights, you never, ever, ever have to disclose your disability. You never have to disclose the nature of it, the name of it. What you have to disclose is any accommodation you may need. So if I were visually impaired, I would say I would, you know, probably, and because depending on your disability, at different points you may have to disclose. For example, if I used a wheelchair, I don't have to say why I'm in the wheelchair, but if I'm being interviewed, I would ask, I would like to, know if your building is wheelchair accessible. Then clearly I've disclosed, right? But that's all I have to disclose. And if I don't need any accommodation to do my job, I never have to disclose. But what we advise is, if you do need accommodation to do your job, you don't wait until things are starting to go sour to disclose. So for example, with my disability, I need, I go through some treatments and I need, once a month, I need an extra half hour for lunch for a week. And then because I have a treatment that time and I just work an extra half hour, I come in early in the morning. That's my accommodation. That's all I have to disclose. I don't have to say why. That's all I have to disclose. And if it doesn't create undue hardship for my employer, then accommodation is pretty straightforward. So you never, ever, ever have to disclose a disability, but you do have to disclose accommodation. And like I said, it depends where in the path you are. If you need an accessible building, well, and then you're going to disclose. If you say, yes, I'm coming for the interview, I'm bringing my support animal with me, well, clearly you've disclosed something where you have a support animal. So that's the first question. And then the second question was, how do I train my staff? There's two levels of training. When I am hiring my staff, I hire because we have several career specialists that work for me. We call them job developers. So I need a robust staff in that I need several, for want of a better word, personality types. So I have a robust group of people to work with a robust clientele, because my clientele is all very, very different. I may have somebody who, for example, is on parole and is looking for work and could be a little rough around the edges, is going to need a different career specialist than somebody who has severe PTSD and anxiety and is unable to actually have like a conversation at first, which we have people who can't even talk on the phone. They have such bad anxiety. So it's different. So I need a robust staff. So that's my first thing, is making sure I have staff that is able to meet each client where they are and have that inherent skill set to be able to work with that person. So it's about a personality, really. And then it's all about training. First is client-centered. Always first. The first thing you do is meet your client and you learn about your client. You have a conversation about your client. We don't sit down and do the resume first unless the client is ready for that. And sometimes they are. It's about, let's get to know each other. Because in my opinion, and especially with our clientele, relationship is critical. Relationship is critical between a career specialist and the client. And sometimes you have to move them around a little bit, get the different specialists with them. But relationship, trust. If there isn't trust, it's very, very difficult to work together.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more with you on that, and that relationship and trust and growth for the individual. But I want to shift it a little bit to understanding something you said earlier, which is with relation to the employers, because it's an incredible step for the clients to have the opportunity to gain that confidence and transition and develop themselves, which they evidently do through your programs. But you also mentioned the employers. And the reality is, and this is one of the beautiful things about career development practitioners and CDPs, is that you get those two sides, and that having a diverse workplace that's representative of everyone is a major benefit and asset to the employer as well. So can you tell me a little bit about that side of your work as well, when you're working with employers to accommodate people with disabilities? And I guess the relationship and kind of spectrum that you've experienced, and any advice that you could give other CDPs as they're navigating those relationships with employers?
Well, first and foremost, employers are human. And as with humanity, the spectrum is vast. We have had people who have said to us, we don't work with those kind of people. which were like, okay, let's just travel back to the 1800s. And, you know, you're kind of like, okay. And then we've had people very, very open. The thing that I would say most, though, that's that spectrum. But the very thing that I would say is the most is just lack of information is what we meet. And so employers are fearful, and it's just a lack of knowledge, and it's not a fault. It just is a reality.
Then maybe you don't know like who to ask the questions to, right? So that's kind of our role, is to like answer those questions and provide the information, right?
And we're there with the employer all the way along. As soon as hired, we're not done. We meet with them weekly. We meet with them twice a week. We meet with them monthly, whatever they need. And if they're going along and they say, this isn't quite working, okay, let's try this accommodation. It's about supporting everybody along the way. And employers are generally fearful about cost. You know, how much is this accommodation going to cost? We pay for the accommodation. Our clients go in with the accommodation. There is no investment on their part. And we're able to provide that 3 month full wage. Like whatever they hire the client, whatever they pay that client, we put back in their account. So it's very, very, and you know what? It's about support and communication. If you're a career counselor, communicate, 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 and communicate on all sides. So it isn't just the clients that are our consumers, the employers are our consumers as well. And so we treat them with exactly the same respect and exactly the same supports, anything we can, because you have to have everybody involved in that relationship to make it work.
You talked about the gifts of your role in the organization, and I think you alluded to this already, but what are some of the challenges that you face? I'm asking you to be a little bit more vulnerable here, but I appreciate it if you would do so.
Absolutely. I've been here since we chiseled on stone tablets, so you're going to get the truth from me. There's a lot of challenges. First of all, there's some clients who are made to come, you know, by, you know, the mandate of whatever social program they're on, and they're just not interested in working with us. And so it's about, and it's always about getting buy-in. I'm not interested in forcing anybody to do anything. It's about, you know, getting them to buy in. But sometimes I have to sell that. Every now and again, and I'm the place where the buck stops. Like, I'm the boss. And so when it's like, oh, yeah, I had 12 jobs to apply for this week, but you know what? I got this new video game and it's really, really good. And I just didn't have time. I'm the one who has that little bit of tough conversation. Okay, you know, what do you plan to eat for the rest of your life? Okay, are you going to have food? Are you going to have a shelter? Is your PS2 going to be under a bridge with you? Like, where are we going with this? And so then we have to have that conversation. And so there are all kinds of vulnerabilities. And then there's people who really, really want to do the work and don't have the ability. And then we have to adjust, you know, to meet that need. Some employers, like I said, we've had employers, we don't work with those people. Those are those kind of bad days. And there are days when I just go home and go, huh, like, is this worth it? Like, oh my gosh. And it's probably like a sort of customer service job when somebody has a bad day and they feel they need to pull out their repertoire of bad words. They sometimes just share those with you. And then you're like, oh, that's a lot of four letter words. And then, you know, so there are those days, but the good days outweigh them.
I connected that, Nikki. Thank you very much for sharing that. Yeah.
So would there be some professional development or work that you've done in for your staff or for yourself in the last year, particularly as we've had to make a whole bunch of changes and adjustments? And I know you guys are all about technology, so it's been probably more important than ever to start utilizing, you know, online workshops or learning that you could recommend to other CDP.
We switched right away. Like we have always, the interesting thing is for the last 15 years, we have done online learning. So we have always done online learning. We have our classroom and we use Zoom when it was Blackboard, when it was something else, when it was something else, you know, we have used these things for years and had classrooms, especially all over the North. Like we have a partnership with the Gary Tinker Federation. So we have all kinds of bounds all over the North, and anybody who is interested in signing up for our program, it's a phone call. It's a self-disclosure. I don't need a doctor's note. You call me and you say, you know what? I have trouble with math in grade 10. Can you help me get a job? Done. That's all I need to hear. Yes, I will help you. If you're over the age of 15 and you tell me you need my help, done. And so that's what we do. And so then we've always done that. So it was a quick shift for us. And I think that's why we were so successful, is we were able to really jump into that online modality, because we'd been sitting with these headsets messing up our hair for all these years, right? And so then as far as my staff, it was extremely important to care for the caregiver, right? So I hired a counselor, social worker. She has this master's in social work, and she came and did monthly check-ins with my staff just to help them manage. And it wasn't about managing work, it was about managing life. And so, and we worked from home, and for there was a long time we were all at home, and every morning we got together, we had check-in, we talked about how we were, we talked about what we were going to do that day. Like we were really brought together. I wanted to connect us as a team, because the stronger our team was, the stronger we could be for our clients. And then I had our counselor come in, and yeah, and now we're back in the office, kind of. I have two toggles, one group here, one group here. So if one group goes down, I've got another group to pick it up.
It sounds like you have a fantastic team there, Nikki. How many staff are there at Neil Squire in Regina?
15 in my region, and I have the best team. Like, not just fantastic, sorry guys, the best.
Now, this really does feel like a job interview. What do you feel has been the greatest challenge that you have had to overcome in your role as a career development practitioner and a leader, in order to lead your team and to have success?
For me, my biggest challenge was vulnerability, to allow myself to be vulnerable as a leader. When I first became a leader 16 years ago, I wanted to be like the queen and know everything and, you know, lead the pack and not, it wasn't about ego. It was just wanting to be like, you know, yes, I got this, everybody. And to allow myself to be vulnerable. And as I shared in the beginning, I have a mental health diagnosis. I was diagnosed 30 some years ago with severe anxiety disorder and chronic depression, and it is a chemical, it is a lifelong thing with me. So I have allowed myself as a leader to be vulnerable, and that was tough. That was tough for me to be vulnerable and say to my staff, hey guys, I know you've got this. I need your help today. I need your support today. And so it isn't about being the boss and the staff and the this and the that. We're one. And we all pick each other up. And during this COVID time, I went through a very, very, very rough time. And turns out a medication I was on wasn't working. And oh, thank you, COVID, for helping us figure that one out. That was great. And so I was able to find treatment that really, really worked with me. I was able to actually write a book about managing mental illness, because I became aware about the age of 4, in hindsight, that I have this. It's been in my family for a bazillion years. And so it was just, for me, to be a good leader is to be a vulnerable leader, is to be an open leader, and to be a truthful leader. And I don't hide my illness. I don't hide my involvement. I'm truthful. I feel that that's truthful, because I feel people can spot a fraud a mile away, and it's irritating. And so being vulnerable, being open and saying I need help was probably the toughest thing for me.
It's like you were miles ahead of Brené Brown.
Oh, let's tell her.
Have you read her book?
I have. Yeah.
It's all about leading, like being vulnerable, right? And that how important that is to leadership, because it creates a space that's safe for everyone, right? So it sounds like you had this down way before she did. Like, what the heck?
Well, it might have been forced on me. And when you're vulnerable, you let each individual shine in their strength, and everybody deserves that. Every single human deserves that, the moment of shine.
I think that that's so true. And obviously that same sentiment will carry from your staff to the clients, right? And that that opportunity to shine and to be themselves. So I really appreciate you sharing and being open and honest with us too, because it does create that space to know that, you know, we don't have to be perfect as career development professionals and or in leadership role. And I think in a certain way, like career development practitioners are leaders in the community, right? I think clients look up to you, and they rely on you a lot for help and assistance. And that's a really important role. So,
and also allow the client to help you. Because, you know, some of those biggest moments are a client. In fact, this is true. A client came to me who had the same diagnosis as me and was having trouble with medication a couple of years ago. He said, I went through magnetic therapy, transcranial magnetic therapy. And I'm like, okay. And you know what? I let myself hear him. And that's what I wound up doing in this last year. And I phoned that client who is employed, and I said, thank you for sharing that with me, because your words and your intuition and your intelligence and your knowledge changed my life. Allow your clients to shine like that. Tell your clients when they have shown you something meaningful. And he was very moved by that. But it's just about treating people with humanity. That's it.
Nikki, I think we're winding down here shortly, but I have a question for you. What is the greatest advice you received from others in your career?
Such a good question. The greatest advice I've received from others. Trust myself, because I spent a lot of years saying, is this the right thing? 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 And at some point, knowing the buck does just, it stops here. And that's the way it is. And so trust myself, first of all, no, do my best. That was do my very, very best. Every day, have I done my best? Yes, I did my best. Trust myself. And if I screw up, own it, take responsibility immediately. And I will apologize. I will reach out. So I would say those are the three most important things.
Well, Nikki, it has been a pleasurable, memorable half hour. You're a brilliant person, Nikki. You're giving off a lot of light. You're illuminating us. Do you have any resources or things that you'd like to plug?
Well, what I would like to do is I would like to ask everyone to go to our website, www.neilsquire.ca, and just look up if there's anything we can do. And I would also like to invite anybody interested. My book is called Shades, and it's going to be published on Amazon probably in the fall, maybe getting into winter. It's just in its final edit. And if you want to really understand mental illness from a person who's had it for their life and tried everything. I've tried absolutely everything to get myself to this kissing 60 years. And if it can help one person. So.
So great. And yeah, I agree with Keith. Your passion just shines. And it was such a pleasure to meet you in this online virtual environment. And I hope our paths continue to cross over the next while.
I'll add my thanks too, Nikki. Thank you. Loved your vibe.